Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Diary. I'm your host, Hannah Elise, and happy 2024. It has been a hot minute, I feel like, since I've sat down and recorded an episode. I'm going to give you a little bit of a life update, recap of where I've been, what I've been doing, what I've been up to. It's 2024. This is the first episode of 2024. I talk about this in every episode. We're not going to get into it, but it's just like, how is it 2024? Also, though, I have mixed feelings. Like, part of me feels like this is going to be a really good year, and I'm manifesting that for myself and for everybody else. And I also just have a good feeling about this. I don't know. I've been taking the last few days to really think about what I want in 2024 and just what I want to do. Like, I don't know. What do I want to do with my life? What would make me happy? What would excite me? And, you know, you don't have to use the new year as a reset. You don't have to use it as a rebrand for yourself. But I personally find those things fun. And also, sometimes you just need a set time. I don't know how to explain it. The new year to me is like a logical start date, since it is, I mean, it's the start of a new year. So that is kind of an easy way to mentally tell yourself, like, okay, I'm going to start doing this then, because this is a start date in general. So it's just like a logical start. But you also don't have to get your life together as soon as it hits January 1st. You don't have to change everything about yourself if you don't want to. If what you're doing is working, then you don't need to change anything. But if, you know, you want to change something, you want to implement new things, then this, I just feel like, is a refreshing, fun time to do that. And I will be doing that personally. I have a lot of things that I would like to change just about my life. I don't know. I've been thinking about how I felt in 2023, and I never actually made like a proper 2023 full on, like, my reflection on it. I did make a 2023 recap video on my YouTube channel. I'm going to link that in the show notes, but that's basically just like a highlight reel of 2023. And overall, it was an amazing year personally for me. Like, just, I got to do so many awesome things, and there was so much good. There was obviously also downsides. There were low points, a lot of low points, actually. And it's those low points that have shaped my goals for 2024 and some of the things that I would like to change in my life. And I'm going to talk more about that in an upcoming YouTube video. I'm doing a, like, 2024 reset / planning video, but I have to wait. I'm a little like behind on that, I feel like, because everyone had theirs up before it was even 2024. So I'm like, oh my God. But I had to wait for my planner to come in, which it still hasn't even come in yet. I'm still waiting for that. But that is like the most important part of the entire video. So I've been waiting for that to do that. And I will be talking a little bit more about some like 2023 low points and, hold on, I think my cat wants to come in. Give me a sec. Okay, sorry. I'm at my parents' house still, and Charlie heard me recording and was meowing profusely at the door. She wanted to come in and sit with me. Anyway, so that's that. I'm going to talk some more about 2023 reflections and stuff like that on my YouTube channel in an upcoming video. So if you're not already subscribed or you didn't know I had a YouTube channel, I do. It's just Hannah Elise. I'm going to link that in the show notes as well for y'all if you want to stay tuned for that and watch out for that. I am really excited about that video. I think it's going to be really fun and it's going to make me feel refreshed. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about what is going on right now. I mean, I'm still in Pennsylvania. I have not yet gone back to New York. I am going back next week, but only for a few days. So the reason that I have been in Pennsylvania for so long, this is the longest I have spent in my parents' house in this state since I moved in 2021. My first week or so here, I was like low-key having a bit of a crisis, just being like, okay, I'm so happy and content right now. What's up with that? Like, what? I know that I don't want to move back to my hometown for a plethora of reasons. I don't know. I just was like, why am I so happy right now? And why do I feel like I don't really want to go? Should I be saying this? whatever. Why do I feel like I don't really want to go back to the city? Like, I don't know. And I've realized that it's just because I needed a break. I needed a change of scenery and a change of pace and time with my family. And I have thought about this literally every single day since I've gotten here and felt that way. And I've come to the conclusion that it is okay for me to feel that way. It's okay for me to need a break. It's okay for me to just need a time of slowness and just spending time with my family. I miss them a lot. You know, they don't live in the same state as me anymore. I don't see them all the time anymore. And I miss them. I miss their company. I feel like I'm on like vacation, sort of, to my home, to my parents' house. So of course I'm going to feel relaxed and just like kind of at peace right now, just because I don't really have much else to focus on. I mean, obviously work things, but I can work from anywhere. So I don't know. I was just like, wait, should I? But then it's like, I'm not moving back to my hometown. I just simply will not do that. So long story short, as I've just gone on a tangent about this for 5 minutes, the reason that I'm still here, and it'll probably be like a month total that I've spent here before I go back, is because I am actually taking a trip in January this month. And it is by far the biggest trip I've ever been on. It's technically a work trip because I am working with a travel company, and it's going to be me and three of my friends. One of my best friends works for this company, and it's basically a sponsorship trip. I've never been anywhere this far before. It's a massive trip. I don't even have words. It still doesn't feel real. I'm literally checking into my flight in like 10 days. Oh my God. And my first travel day, the total time is 24 hours. The first flight, the layover, and the second flight. 24 hours. There will be a YouTube video coming, obviously. There will be like a big vlog of the whole trip. Duh. But that is why I am still in Pennsylvania. Because I am leaving my cat, Charlie, here once again. She's been spending a lot of time at my parents' house recently because I've been traveling. And when I travel, she stays with my parents and my parents' cats so that she, you know, is somewhere she's familiar with and with people she knows and cats she knows. And it's like a vacation for her. She's like playing with our other cat and it's great. I miss her dearly, but that's besides the point. She is safe here, well looked after, comfortable, all of that. But the reason that I'm still here and not back in New York, even though my flight, like I technically like could be back there, is that I don't want to spend more time away from Charlie than I have to. I could go back right now to my apartment, but then I would just be sitting there for like a week and she wouldn't be there and then I would be sad. So I just want to spend as much time with her as I can before I leave again and don't see her for a few more weeks. And I don't know if that sounds like a stupid reason. And it's not. Like, I don't know. It's not stupid to me, so therefore it's not stupid. Period. But that's what's up. I'll tell y'all more about the trip probably next episode, but just know that it's genuinely one of the most amazing opportunities that I've gotten through this job. And also I'm terrified because it's the biggest trip I will have ever gone on, but I am feeling better about it just because I know that I like won't be doing it alone. Obviously, like we're going with a big group, a tour group, but then within that it's gonna be me and my three friends. So it will be okay, but I am a very, very anxious person, and things that are outside of my comfort zone make me obviously extremely uncomfortable. But we're starting off 2024 setting the theme right away of embracing the uncomfortable. That's what I'm doing because I have to. And I have to do that in order to have this opportunity, because I think this is true. I don't know if I'll have this opportunity to do this ever again. So I'm not going to let my fear and my anxiety stop me from experiencing this, because I think it's going to be awesome. But I am obviously still nervous about it. which is fine. It's natural, I feel like, to be nervous about something you aren't familiar with, something that feels so big and so different and so new. It's uncharted territory. So, I mean, I can't really fault myself, and I'm not faulting myself, but that is how I've been feeling, and that is why I am still here in Pennsylvania and not in New York. I am so delayed, and I'm going to be so delayed with my, like, 2024 getting my life together vibes on my YouTube channel, because I won't even be getting back into the swing of things for real until February. So we're going to make it like February is the new January on my channel with my, like, getting my shit together videos, because I simply won't be having any of my shit together until then. And that is, hopefully that's okay. Thank you. Sincerely, management. Now that we've done our housekeeping, let's get into the kind of topic of today's video. But I just wanted to do this because I've been seeing this trend on social media of, like, people's ins and outs of 2024, like what's in and what's out for people this year. So I did make myself a little list. It's not very long, but I want to review with you what is in and out for me personally this year, okay? This is all just for me. This is about me. If you don't agree with these or some of these or whatever, it's not like, and if you do any of these things, I mean, I don't know. I don't have anything like crazy on this list. I feel like this is kind of obvious stuff that it'll make sense when I get into it. Okay. I present to you my 2024 ins and outs list. Should we start with ins or out? Let's start with ins. What is in for me this year? First thing on the list, YouTube. And in general, long form content. This is always in for me. I'm just hoping that it catches back on. And since I've been being honest on this podcast so far in this episode, I will tell you that I really wish long form content was appreciated the way it used to be. I feel like since short form has really taken over, it just feels like, I know people say they don't have the attention span for long form anymore. And I'm not just saying this because I create long form content. I mean, I am saying it partly because of that, because in the last like year or two, business wise, it has just been not as, it's different. The creator economy is different. The way brands are choosing to advertise is different. And a lot of brands are focusing on short form. That's besides the freaking point. I love long form content. Okay, period. I prefer long form content. And that's just how it is. Like, I don't see there ever being a time where I don't prefer long form content to short form. I think short form has its place. Okay, don't even get me wrong. I don't hate it. You know, I just wish that it didn't have the effect on people in regards to long form that it has been. Like, people have less of an attention span. They don't really want to watch YouTube. I mean, that's not even true. Like, some people do still, obviously. Like, I think YouTube will be around forever. YouTube will stand the test of time. I think YouTube is timeless because it's that good. People will always come back to it, I think. But I also feel like we're kind of in a period where people just really like short form. And I don't know, like, in my free time, I'm watching YouTube. I'm watching YouTube if I'm eating dinner by myself and I want to feel like I have a companion. Something about the YouTubers that I watch, I feel like, and this is going to sound parasocial, but like, I feel like I know them. Like, I feel they're like comforting to me. And I see more of their personality in long form videos, in my opinion. And I just feel more connected to these people. And not in like a creepy way. I don't know. I just enjoy their vibes. I like their energy and I like having them on my screen and watching what they do. And also, there's just so much to work with creatively with long form. And I love seeing how people create a story on YouTube in long form content and YouTube videos. It's so inspiring to me and it will never get old to me. I have loved YouTube so much since I was young, like since I was like 10, 9, however old I was when I discovered YouTube. I've loved it since then. And it is just always going to be in for me. There was a time where my attention span was shortened, probably during COVID when like we didn't have fuck all else to do but like scroll on TikTok for 25 hours a day. And there aren't even 25 hours in a day. And I didn't do that on purpose, but that's just how an exaggeration of how much time I spent mind-numbingly scrolling on my phone because I had nothing better to do. I just will always have the attention span for YouTube. I will always have a love for YouTube, and it will always be in to me. Next, this is completely countering everything I just said about short form. But for me, Reels, Instagram Reels are in. I thought Instagram Reels were corny as fuck at first because they were just copying TikTok. And to be honest, like, they are. Every platform is trying to adopt a short form model because it is profitable. And they've seen that through TikTok success, which I get. You know, I get from a business perspective. But it's also like, Instagram's a photo sharing app. Like, stick to what you're good at. But also, I get the need or the want to include these new features and stuff to keep up with other platforms. Whatever. This is so besides the point. Like, why am I even talking about this? Reels are in for me. And I know that I just said long form content I prefer. And I do. I do. This is not changing that. But when it comes to short form content, I don't know why I like Reels. I think people are so creative on Reels. It's almost like people's Instagram feeds with like their creativity and like almost aesthetic things, but in video form, which I like a lot. I don't know. I think I see more of that on Reels. I don't know if that's just my algorithm, but I really enjoy watching people's cute like montages or aesthetic little videos on Reels. And I also have found out that I enjoy making those. Like, if I take a video or even like mash up some of my YouTube clips into a nice video with some like nice music, I don't know, and it's just a little aesthetic compilation, I like that a lot for some reason. And it also feels like it makes sense for Instagram to me. I feel like there's a lot of like aestheticness in Instagram, and I know that we've done the whole like make Instagram casual again thing, and I think to a certain point it is, but also I still appreciate an aesthetic photo, you know what I mean? Like, who I can't lie, I do. So I really have been liking Reels. I've been liking other people's Reels, and I've been enjoying making my own and posting them. I've been posting more Reels in the last few months because it's actually like to do it. I don't know. So that's in for me. All right, getting off the social media thing for the remainder of this fucking episode. I'm just kidding. I'll probably have to mention it again when I get to the outs because I'm so deeply intertwined with social media that I can't not mention it. Sorry. The next thing that's in is at-home coffee. Duh. This has been in for me since I purchased my espresso machine. The Breville Barista Express is the one that I have, by the way, if you didn't know. It's the greatest. It's truly, I think it's the greatest purchase I've ever made in my life. And I'm not exaggerating. It was expensive, but I bought it like probably 4 years ago now. Maybe five. It's been a hot minute and I drink probably three a day. I'm not kidding. Like, average three coffees a day. And they're lattes. Like, it brews my espresso shots and I love lattes. I just simply love them. And in New York City, if I got a latte the same way that I make it at home, if I got it at a coffee shop, which I still do, but way more of the time I'm making at home coffee, it's like $8 for what I want. On average, for that iced, like, almond milk latte with two shots. $8. So not only is at-home coffee in for the convenience and also the money saving, I've saved probably thousands of dollars on coffee because I make it at home. Not only for the financially smart money-saving aspect, which is a very good reason for this to be in, also because I love my at-home coffee. I think it tastes, honestly, better than coffees I get at coffee shops most of the time. I mean, I make the same shit every single day, so obviously I like it, but it's so good. It makes me happy. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I cannot wait to make my coffee. I can just walk to the kitchen and get it instead of going outside and spending $8, you know? Like, I'm still going to go to coffee shops if I'm working at a coffee shop or I'm meeting a friend at a coffee shop or I just pass one and I want to grab a coffee, like, I will. And I, you know, supporting local business. That's great. But for the most part, I'm making at-home coffee and it is fantastic. The next thing that I have is at-home nails. I could rant about this specific thing for like 20 minutes, but I'm not going to. Specifically, also, I wrote short nails are in for me. I used to get acrylics before I moved to New York and I would get like the coffin style, like probably medium length. They weren't like ridiculously long, but they're pretty long. And since I've moved to New York, I have not found a place in my vicinity that offers acrylics. I don't know what's up with that. Most of them just do dip, and I have dip powder. So why would I spend $200 to have somebody else do that on my nails when I can simply do it myself? But I have found, okay, a new way that I enjoy doing my nails, and that is Gel X nails and then gel polish on top. I purchased myself a Gel X nail kit on Black Friday, and I got the, it's like the Apres nail, I think is the brand, Gel X kit. And I got the almond shape in short, and they are literally the perfect shape, the perfect length for me, and they're already shaped. Like I just cure them onto my nails with the little light that came in the kit, and then I do gel polish, whatever color I want, on top, and I use the brand Gelish usually for that, if anyone cares. It takes forever. Like, I'm not even going to lie. It does take a hot minute. I'm looking at the nails that I have on right now. They're red. I did them red for the holidays. I think I did them like 2 weeks ago, and they're all still perfect. I mean, they're growing out, obviously, but knock on wood, they are standing up. They're sturdy and they look good. And I did them. I'm not a professional, but it's really not that hard. And once you buy the kit, it comes with like 600 or so, I think, nails. And then you just get the gel polish to go on top. And it's like, you're saving so much money. Does it take more time to do it yourself? Yes. Especially my non-dominant hand. Like, that does take me more time because I have to concentrate so I don't fuck it up royally. But the money saving implications, the fact that I can just do it in the comfort of my own home, like I'll just turn on YouTube videos, I'll make a little playlist of some videos I want to watch, and I'll just have it go through them and I'll watch them as I do my nails because it's pretty mindless. I'm comfortable in my own home, I'm entertaining myself, I'm having fun spending time with myself, and I'm saving hundreds of dollars doing them by myself. There's just simply no downside. It's really not that hard to figure out how to use them. There are countless YouTube videos that'll tell you how to do any type of nail that you want, whether just gel polish or dip or Gel X or even acrylic. You can learn how to do on YouTube. Buy the supplies yourself and you have your own nail salon at your house, and you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars and your time getting your nails done. I've honestly been doing my own nails since I moved to New York because everything is so fucking expensive. And I just don't want to pay that. So I taught myself, and it's like, why not? If other people can learn how to do it and then charge you for it, you can also learn how to do it for yourself for free. That's my mindset. All right, my next thing that's in for me big time is chia pudding. I cannot explain to you my love for chia pudding. I don't even know why I love it so much, but I just do. It is so good to me. This started when I was in London this past time when I went with Amanda. The hotel that we stayed at, the One Hotel Mayfair, they have this little like cafe area in the lobby, and I got this chia pudding pot thingy, like a little to-go cup chia pudding with some fruit in it, and it was so good. So when I got back from London, I set out to recreate it, and I think I've figured it out. I do 3 tablespoons of chia seeds and then 1/4 cup of almond milk for each tablespoon. And then I add in maple syrup for sweetener, and then I put it in the fridge overnight. And you can meal prep these. I think they stay good. I read somewhere for like a week just sitting in the fridge. So easy meal prep idea. And it's so good. I don't know why. It makes me feel good, and it also tastes so good, and I love to add fruit, and it's just been my favorite little breakfast lately. So I'm going to be continuing the chia pudding big time in 2024. I just fuck with chia seeds heavy. I don't know. I put chia seeds in my oatmeal too. I love them. So huge in. Massive, massive in. It's been a game changer for me. My next thing that's in is the let them principle. I made an episode about this actually before. I will link it down in the show notes if you haven't heard it, and it talks more about this, but basically this theory principle. It's more of a principle than a theory, I think. But it just means letting people do what they do. Like, for example, if somebody is talking shit about you, let them. If somebody makes plans with your other friends and doesn't include you, let them. It's basically let people do what they're going to do, because first of all, you can't control it anyway. And second of all, if you sit back and observe by just letting people be themselves, you'll learn more that way, whether good or bad, anyway. When I have a moment where people are frustrating me, or like something happens and I'm upset about it and it has to do with something somebody else did or said, the second that I remind myself that I can just let them, or that I have to really just let them because there's nothing that I can do, it just makes me feel lighter. It takes a weight off me. And I think that that's probably partially because I want to have some semblance of control on so many different things. Like, I wish that I could have some type of control over how people acted towards me or what people said about me or whatever. I wish I could, because I would just make sure that nothing negative came about, but that's just not how it works. And so to remind myself to let them, it's like, yeah, duh, like that's so simple, but it has changed my mindset, honestly, since I started thinking about that. I will sit there and see people doing something that maybe hurts my feelings, or I don't know, and I'll be like, why would you do that? What did I do wrong? Why, what, who, where? And then when I remind myself to just let them, it's almost like taking my hands off of it. I'm like, all right, something I can do here, and it's not my problem, it's not my concern, it's not in my control. And if somebody wants to do something that hurts my feelings, let them, and also get the fuck out. That's it. That's all that you have to do. The next thing that's in, reading time. Designated reading time. Making time to read every single day for myself. And maybe not if every day, like every other day. As much as I possibly can, making time to read. Putting it in my schedule. Making it a priority. I feel like I've gone a lot of time without reading because I've just told myself that I'm too busy. And sometimes I have a lot on my plate, and that's fair. But it's like, reading is important to me because it makes me happy. I enjoy it thoroughly, and it's such a nice escape for me. It gets me off my phone, puts me into another world, and it just makes me happy. So because of that, it's something that I need to prioritize for myself, because I deserve to do stuff that's just to make me happy. Not to make money, not to become successful, not to reach a goal, but just to be enjoyable. And that's what reading is to me. Next, it is in to wear my Apple Watch. I know some people think Apple Watches are choogy. I get it. You know, I'm not going to wear my Apple Watch with like a formal dress. But I did just get a new Apple Watch. And I got that for myself because I'm committed to finding exercises and some type of regimen that I enjoy this year for myself to move my body. It's something that I've struggled with immensely in the last few years, honestly, ever since I stopped playing soccer, because it was automatic for me to just show up to practice. They told me what to do and I left. Like, I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to schedule anything or even think about it myself. Somebody else was just telling me what to do, yelling at me sometimes to do it, but whatever. Ever since then, I haven't found an exercise regimen or even just a specific class, like, I don't know, that I love and don't get tired of. There have been things that I've enjoyed, but when that's the only thing that I'm doing, I get bored and then I don't want to go anymore. This happened with Solid Core last year. That's the only, I had a Solid Core membership. So that was my only like exercise medium. It was the only thing I was doing. And then after a while, I was like this. It is generally the same thing every time. We switch muscle groups and focuses and stuff, but it's the same thing every time. And I got bored. And I stopped going. And that was my only exercise at the time. And then after that, I was like, well, I don't really feel like figuring something else out because I'm probably just going to get bored of it. So I've realized I need to make it varied. I need to have a few different things that I can throw in a week and not just do the exact same thing, because I will get bored if that is the case. So anyway, that's a whole other thing I'm going to talk about in my YouTube video also. Like, that's a really, really big goal of mine for 2024. But to go with that, I did get a new Apple Watch got like the Series 9 or whatever the latest one is. I need to wear it because I bought it. And also it tracks so many things. Like I want to be able to track my exercise and I want to be able to track my workouts and all of that. So I honestly do really like the Apple Watch for that. I have an Oura Ring as well that I got from Best Buy when I did a video for them. And I like the Oura Ring, but I like the Oura Ring specifically for sleep. I feel like the sleep insights are really good. And then for workouts, I prefer the Apple Watch and just the way that you can log workouts and start it at the start of your workout, end it at the end, and have that like just logged in there. I like that system. So I got a new Apple Watch. I'm going to put cute bands on them and I'm going to wear it around. Whether I'm exercising, like going to a gym or not, I'm going to have it on unless I am going somewhere nice. Okay. I'm not wearing my Apple Watch out if I'm going to like a club, which I don't even really do. But if I'm going somewhere nice, like a fancy dinner or an event or something, I'm not going to wear my Apple Watch. But every other time, I'm going to wear it. And I'm going to get those insights. I'm going to track my exercise. And I'm hoping that it motivates me. Next, picnics. Picnics are in. I fuck with picnics so much. I had a picnic in Central Park, a couple actually, last spring and summer. And they were so fun. So fun. I did a picnic in Central Park for my 24th birthday last year. And I got my friends to come and we set out a picnic blanket. We had like a charcuterie board. We had some wine. We had balloons. It was so fucking nice. And it was so fun. I live in New York City. I freaking have Central Park. And there's tons of other parks that I could go picnic at. But something about sitting at Sheep Meadow in Central Park is so main character. Sorry if that's cringe. Actually, no, I'm not sorry. I'm going to put that in my outs as well as apologizing for everything. I love picnics. Whether you go by yourself or with friends, bring a book, bring some charcuterie maybe. You can make a whole board. You can just bring some snacks, go get some food and bring it there and like just lay out in the sun with a cute picnic blanket. It's a great activity. It's cheap, it's wholesome, and it's fun. Picnics are in. And then the last in that I have is self-discipline. I have been so not self-disciplined, especially in the last year, that it has negatively impacted my life in a monumental way. So I need to be in my self-disciplined era this year. Being self-disciplined is in. Being firm but kind to yourself is in. Holding yourself to a high standard is in. And holding myself accountable, keeping myself on track, pushing myself when I need to, letting go a little bit when I don't, it's all in. That's very important. It's a huge part of my goals for 2024. So many of them honestly feels like revolve or stem from self-discipline. Let's move into what's out for me in 2024. I already mentioned this, but apologizing for everything. I don't know why I do this. Is it just because I'm a woman? I apologize for everything, even shit that's not my fault. Somebody will run into me and I will say sorry. I just apologize for everything and it needs to go because I only need to apologize for shit that I'm sorry for. That's the whole point of apologizing. The next thing that is so out for me is being embarrassed. Why am I embarrassed? Something is only embarrassing if you feel embarrassed. So therefore, what am I embarrassed for? Do I look stupid to somebody else? Okay, who cares? Who fucking cares what somebody else thinks? Or like, especially a stranger, like who cares? If I ever see you again, that is a slim chance. And if I do, who cares? Being embarrassed is not for me anymore. I feel like I've just been embarrassed for so long about so many things. And it's just like, I don't know, I feel awkward about stuff. And I don't want to look cringy or be embarrassing or like be too outgoing or be too anything. And I've let those thoughts of just like trying to avoid feeling embarrassed honestly direct so many things that I've done. And I just feel like, who gives a fuck? It's only embarrassing if you let it be embarrassing or if you feel embarrassed. So if you don't feel embarrassed, it's not embarrassing. That's it. Being embarrassed is out. Fuck being embarrassed. The next thing that is so majorly out is self-deprecating talk. And I mean, even in a joking way. I will make a mistake and be like, oh my God, I'm so dumb. No, I'm not. Why am I saying that? That's so rude. All my body does, and this is a whole different conversation, but all my body does is try to keep me alive. And I'm over here shitting on it. And I'm over here insulting myself for fun. It's not funny. I have such a like a self-deprecating humor vibe, and I use self-deprecation in my humor a lot, and I just want to stop doing that in 2024 because I don't know, like, who is that serving? There are so many other ways to be funny, and the things that you say to yourself matter. The things that I say to myself matter. I want to lift myself up and have self-confidence and, you know, uplift myself. Insulting myself, whether I'm being serious or I'm joking, is not okay, especially to other people. Like, if I feel a certain way, like, I don't need to make it other people's concern. Self-deprecating talk is out. We're done. We are uplifting ourselves in 2024. At least I am. I'm going to try to do that and cut it out of my humor and just like make other things, have other things to make jokes about. You know, people said the little things add up, like change adds up, dollars add up. Self-deprecating talk adds up. What you say to yourself, it does matter. Even if you think it's just a joke or it's like whatever, it does matter. Another thing that is so out because I'm so bored of it and over it is comparison. Oh my God, I just can't. I fucking hate comparison, and I do it all the time. I do it every day, whether it's in person, whether it's on social media or just online in general, or just the, I don't know. I compare myself to everybody all the time. All the time. It's like I use it almost as a benchmark. And it's so funny because I've made episodes about and talked about in videos before, like why you don't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Everyone has their own timelines and your journey is yours and only yours. And you can't compare your day one to somebody else's day 55. I know those things and I tell people those things, but then I don't practice what I preach. And I just compare myself all the time. I feel like this is human nature. This is so normal to do, but that doesn't mean it makes me happy, because it doesn't. I don't enjoy it. It makes me feel like shit, and it makes me feel like I'm not doing enough, or I'm not, insert word here, enough. I'm not healthy enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not capable enough. And that comes from comparing myself to other people that in my mind are those things that I wish I was. And it's like, okay, you can see that and like use it as motivation, I guess, but it's such a fine line, comparing yourself to somebody else for motivation and then comparing yourself in a way that is negative for your own view of yourself. It's a very fine line. To be able to look at somebody else who's doing better than you in your mind and be inspired by that, rather than to just compare yourself and knock yourself down and get down on yourself, that takes so much self-love and self-confidence. And I need to work on those things. I want to be able to look at other people and be like, that's really cool for them, or, you know, use that as inspiration and not shit on myself about it. I want to be able to do that. So in order to do that, I need to work on my self-confidence and work on my self-love. I think comparison is something that just makes me look at all the things that I feel like I have flaws in or I have gaps in and other people don't, from my perspective, which also my perspective of other people is not accurate because I don't know them. I don't know what's going on. I mean, even if I do know them, I don't know what's going on really behind the scenes if they don't share that with me or they don't show it. You don't know. You have no idea what somebody's going through. So I don't know. I'm just so fucking tired of comparing myself to literally everybody else. And it's specifically lately for me, it's been with like health, and it stems from a place of insecurity on my end. And I know that, obviously. So I'm seeing a lack of something in myself, and then I'm looking at other people and I'm like, well, why do they have that? Like, why? It's just so fucking annoying, and it takes up so much of my mental capacity and drains me emotionally, and it makes me not love myself, which, again, going back to what I just said, all my body does is try to keep me alive, and I shit on it and I look at it and see its faults instead of speaking kindly to myself and just trying to do things to improve. So fuck comparison, that's out. The next thing that needs to be out for me is FOMO. I feel like I have FOMO sometimes, but when I do have it, it's intense. And especially FOMO for stuff I wasn't invited to. If I'm invited to something and I don't want to go, I will rarely feel FOMO about it because I know that I would rather be doing something else, or I would rather just have time to myself, or for whatever reason. If I'm saying yes to something, it's because I want to go. I'm not saying yes because I don't want to feel FOMO. Typically, I feel FOMO for things that I either can't do or wasn't invited to. FOMO for things that I wasn't invited to hits different because then I am like, well, why wasn't I good enough to be there? And I think about that. And I'm like, why didn't they want me there? And that makes me sad. But all FOMO for me in 2024 is canceled. For things that I either wasn't invited to or wasn't able to go to, why don't I try focusing on what I am doing and what I do have? And honestly, if I say something that I wasn't invited to, if they didn't invite me and didn't want me there, then why would I want to be there anyway? Why would I want to be around people who either don't think of me or don't want me there? You know what I mean? I need to have some respect for myself and know that I'm fine. I'm good. Either way, it's not that serious. It's really not. Missing out on what? Like, what am I missing out on? At the end of the day, it's probably just not that serious in the grand scheme of life. If I look back at the whole year, will I remember each specific instance that I felt FOMO? Probably not, because they ended up really not being that serious anyway. And then the last thing that I have written down, I wrote this last night while I was doing this because I thought about it. Phone call and email anxiety out in 2024. I put off doing these things so much because for some reason they gave me anxiety. Talking to people on the phone, calling people to, I don't know, set up an appointment or calling people to have a meeting or emailing about something important, it gives me anxiety. And I overthink everything that I say. I reread everything that I say a million times. I feel like I'm awkward on the phone. I hate doing those things. And I know I'm not alone in that, but they are inevitable. I have to do those things. So at the end of the day, who cares? Why am I feeling anxiety about sending a fucking email to another human being? Why am I feeling anxiety about calling another human being on the phone? Why do I care? Even if I do know these people, why do I care? Would a man feel embarrassed? Would a man feel awkward calling somebody about business, emailing somebody about business, and maybe they have to be stern or maybe they have to, you know, present a differing opinion? I don't know. But those things give me so much anxiety. Would a man feel that way? I don't know. Probably not. At least not any men I'm thinking of. So why do I feel that way? Why do I feel meek? Why do I feel like I need to make myself small? Send the damn email. Write what you need to say and hit send. That's it. It's really that simple. I don't know why I overthink this so much. I don't know if it's that I feel I'm not qualified, or specifically with like emails and business stuff, like maybe I feel like I'm not qualified. Maybe I feel like I have imposter syndrome. For the phone, I just hate doing it. I just don't like it. I don't know why. I just don't. But it's out. 2024, no more phone call and email anxiety. Write the damn email and send it. That's it. It takes like a minute to write it and then you just hit send. That's it. You're talking to another human being. This goes along with the being embarrassed thing. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. Writing an email, it's not embarrassing. And maybe it is, but who cares? If it's embarrassing, then you have to just not care that it's embarrassing and do it anyway. All these unnecessary anxieties and negative feelings about these things. I have enough anxieties and negative feelings about a lot of other shit that these inconsequential things, communications with other human beings, does not need to be on that list for me. Alrighty, that was the final thing on my outs list, and that rounds up my personal 2024 ins and outs. As I said, I probably could think of like 100 more things to add to these, but I made this list because I wanted to write in my planner when I get it. I want to do, like, as part of my 2024 reset video that I mentioned earlier, I want to make a 2024 vision board, and I want to put it actually in my planner because there's some blank pages at the end that I have space to do that for, and I wanted to write my 2024 goals in there as well. And then I also wanted to have this little list of like my ins and outs in my planner. So I thought this would be fun to go in depth with and with you. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Maybe these things are on your ins and outs list as well. Maybe not, but that's okay. I hope everyone's having a great start to 2024. And if you're not, that's okay too. You don't have to figure out your entire life plan and fix everything about yourself right at the beginning of a new year. You don't have to do that. If you aren't ready, that's okay. If you don't have anything you really want to change, that's okay. And if you have a lot of things you want to change, you don't have to do them all right now, because that's not sustainable in my mind. I'm going to talk about that in the video too. Sorry, I keep freaking teasing this, but I don't want to be repetitive and saying the exact same shit on the podcast and my YouTube channel. I'm like, I don't want to say the same thing twice anyway, and I'm sure no one else wants to hear it twice. Slow and steady wins the race. It is a marathon, not a sprint. You don't have to figure every single thing out right now. And if you even try to do that, it'll probably be overwhelming. This is meant to be transformative. It's meant to be empowering and exciting, not overwhelming. So just do what feels right to you. I love you so much. Thank you for listening to the first episode of Digital Diary of 2024. What does this year have in store? That question both scares me and excites me. All right, I'm going to stop talking. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back next week with a brand new episode, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your day and rest of your week. Bye.